Coming up on the two-minute warning, Beja lets it fly, but it's a duck, and it's intercepted. Byron Murphy picked it off. Oh, then he fumbles it. And they're fighting for it right around the 45-yard line, but it is going to be Minnesota's football.
Early on the field is an interception, a fumble, and recovery by Minnesota. First down.
Just when it looked like the Bears might be mounting a drive to take the lead, an interception, a pick by Murphy.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. And now your hosts, Olin Krutz and Lawrence Holmes on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The player that Olin Krutz said to keep an eye on in this game was Mr. Murphy. Let me give you his numbers from the game. Four tackles for him. He had the interception. One of those tackles, by the way, was a tackle for loss. An interception, three passes broken up, and his own fumble recovery. That's a pretty good day for a cornerback when you're going up against the NFC Player of the Week.
Yeah, really good day, and it's just kind of the way Coach Flores plays defense, right? He's got to trust one of those cornerbacks out there to take somebody away. And, you know, it's just a lot of it is man, Lawrence, but a lot of it, too, they do disguise and they go from man to zone and they do a nice job. And you know that Coach Flores was the secondary coach under Bill Belichick. So he comes over with a lot of knowledge, former head coach of the Dolphins. We talked about earlier on the pregame show how his scheme was extremely interesting when you turn the film on and you try to understand the concepts they're running there. And it baffled the Bears today. And a big part of that is that their cornerback, Murphy.
He was who's hot today. Who's cold? Well, that's probably Matt Eberflus, considering his team is 1-5. It's sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency. Call the plumbing professionals 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Here is Bears head coach Matt Eberflus on the Bears 19-13 loss to Minnesota.
Okay, first of all, I want to thank the fans. You know, they really did a great job. We really noticed it on defense. I know the defensive players were talking about it. You know, on third downs, getting loud, made it hard for the Vikings offense today. So I really want to appreciate and thank them for that. In terms of injury update, you know, we do have, you know, Justin Fields injured his right hand. And, you know, we're evaluating it right now. We did take an x-ray. The x-ray is negative, you know, in terms of that. And then we'll see where it is tomorrow when we get the MRI. So that's all I know right now. That's all I have on that. Nate, same thing, his ankle did not return. We'll see where it is tomorrow. We'll get more information on that as well. And then Eddie left the game and was questionable. Could have came back, injured his foot a little bit during the game. Didn't feel 100%, but he could have came back if we needed him due to injury. And that's all I have. I thought that the game, you know, played out, you know, the way we wanted it to in some spots. We need to do a better job with the ball. You know, we obviously giving the ball away that many times, certainly at -2. That's a hard way to win. And the percentages aren't in your favor, you know, so the defense has to get it out more. And we got to do a better job of protecting it in terms of that. But there's some good things in there, but obviously didn't get the W and disappointed in that. And we'll see where we are with the injuries going forward. With that, I'll open up to questions.
What's your understanding of what they're looking for with the MRI with Justin to see?
Yeah, you know, so with him, you know, he wanted to come back in the game. And, you know, that's really all I have, you know, in terms of that. But he just couldn't grip the ball to throw it right now. So we'll see where it is. Like I said, the MRI, that's all I have. We'll know more information tomorrow, and that's where it is.
What went into the change made at center in the third quarter?
Yeah, so the change at center, you know, so, you know, Lucas obviously was going through concussion protocol during the week, and we thought when, you know, obviously Justin went out and we had Tyson in there, we thought it was best for our team to have the guy that had more experience in there playing center. And that's the position that we have. You know, that Lucas has played a long time. He's got a lot of experience in there. We thought that would settle Bajic down a little bit.
That wasn't related at all to the snap issues?
No. No, it was just more about settling down and putting a guy that had more experience at center. And we feel good about both guys. And obviously, we've switched guys around during the course of the year. Guard, center, we're going to have to continue to do that based on where Nate is. We'll see. But we like our flexibility in there.
Thank you.
Yeah. We decided a couple weeks ago to make Bajet the number two and Nate the emergency. What went into that? And for a guy who's never taken an NFL snap and thrown into it, is that something you guys were comfortable with compared to Nate?
Yeah. Yeah, we were comfortable with it, and that's why we made the decision, you know. So it's really, he created that opportunity during practice and, you know, during the meetings and, you know, being, you know, we're evaluating everything. So he really created that himself, and we thought that was best going forward that he was the number two.
Yeah, what kind of impact do you think Bajet had just on the operation of your offense?
You know, I thought he, you know, started out, you know, had, you know, was not not great at first, right? But, again, that's everybody. That's 11 guys. And they're operating. But I think once he got settled down, he put that drive together, then you could see what he could do. He could do off-schedule stuff. He can escape. Made a nice, a few nice throws there. And, his mobility is good. I thought, his timing was good on a lot of those passes that he threw. You know, so I thought he looked good. I thought he looked good in that one drive. And, again, at the very end, you know, in that interception, again, the protection has got to be more solid in that particular play. And, he can't put the ball in harm's way.
How did what he did today affect any decision you might need to make as far as him playing more quarterback if Justin's out? Is he still?
Yeah, we'll look at that. We'll evaluate that. Again, we believe in Tyson. You know, we obviously had him at number two for a reason, and we feel strong about that.
Coach, what's your identity? Now, especially now that Justin Fields is out, what's your identity, and is it going to have to change now that Tyson, that Bajet, is going to be number one?
Yeah, again, we'll see where Justin is. We'll see where it is. Like I said, the x-ray was negative. We'll see where he is going forward. But, again, we're going to have to really do a great job of evaluating that, where it is, and putting our guys in position to make plays. And that's what our job is as coaches. So in terms of the identity of it, you know, we're going to have to look hard and see how we can get the ball down the field, score points. And that's the number one thing that we got
to
do.
What did you say to him before he went into the game, and what? How would you describe his demeanor?
His demeanor was great. It's always great. He's cool, calm, collected. You can see that out there. He was that way the entire time. I thought he had good command when he was out there in terms of getting the plays and getting the plays out. There was no really snafus there in terms of that with the operation. But we really like where he is. And, we just said to him, hey, you got this. You know, and he went out there. And as a backup quarterback, you always know you're one play away from playing the entire game. So that's what he's there for, and that's what he got called on to do.
Yeah, before Justin got hurt, the offense was not going well. Were you guys struggling with the blitz? Was there a difficulty picking up the blitz or lack of a schematic adjustment to the blitzes that Minnesota was?
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to go back and look at the tape, but definitely for sure, there were some protection things in there where we had to, do a better job. It certainly wasn't clean all the time, but I certainly think we got a rhythm a little bit there going. And, again, we just got to do a better job with the overall execution there. But, again, we gave ourselves a chance to win the game at the end, and we just didn't get it done.
What was the coaching point on the strip sack for Tyson?
It's you always want to have two hands on the ball in there. But, again, it's everybody. You know, when you're in the pocket there, you got to do a great job of feeling that and then riding up the pocket to deliver the ball. When you have two hands on the ball, you're obviously the ball security is going to be better there.
On the replay, it seemed to me that TJ was able to secure that fumble on the sideline. Obviously, they overturned it. They gave you further explanation for why they chose to overturn the initial call.
Yeah, I mean, in a game like today, there's not a bunch of cameras out here, so there's not a bunch of looks. And then when they do overturn the call on the field, there must be a pretty good evidence to say it's clear and obvious for that. So that's where it was, and they said it was clear and obvious that he was not inbound. So.
Can you talk to Justin after the game, and how would you describe this?
His demeanor's great. He's great. He goes, Coach, we'll see where it is tomorrow. And he was positive, and he was upbeat.
What do you see out of DeAndre Foreman and Darrington Evans coming in both from the goal? What do you say about that?
Yeah, I thought we ran the ball well. You know, in terms of running efficiency, it was good. Obviously, when he fumbled that one ball, I told him, hey, that's just one time. And I said, you got lucky on that one. And I told him, hey, you just got to make sure you secure it the rest of the way, and he did. I love the way he got down north and south. You know, he really did a nice job with that. You know, he created a lot of those momentum plays for that drive at the end that we had. And, really good. And then Evans, obviously we're lucky to have him last year. You know, so he was, be able to put in the mix in a short notice and be able to operate. So both guys did well.
Can you guys were in dime a lot more on third down today. What does that allow you to do better in those situations?
You can just variation of coverage. You can do a lot of different things with that, you know, because you got some cover guys back, which was good to see. And, you know, we'll base it on our matchups, you know, every single week to see where we are. You know, if we think we match up better in dime, we'll do that, or we'll just play nickel. But again, that's a week-to-week thing.
DJ Moore had only one target in the first half after such a big week last week. How does that happen?
Yeah, obviously we got to look at that. That's not what we want. We want to target him. We want to be able to look, you know, obviously feature him. And I know I think he had 8 at the end total and 5 catches. But again, we certainly want to target our skill. No question about it.
How do you fight the feelings that maybe there's some regression to creeping the locker room after having a win and then coming to have a loss like this? How do you fight people feeling big down at this?
You know, I just think it's, you know, the morale of the team is based on each individual man. You know, we got guys that have fighters' hearts, you know, and they're always going to be sticking in there together. They were at the game. They saw it. They know what it was. You know, when you go -2 in a football game, it's going to be hard to win. You know, and if we would have flipped that, went +2, I bet we would have won the game. You know, so to me, it's all about that. And it's all about us doing our detail. You know, certainly we fought hard in the game. I'm proud of the guys for what they did, but we didn't come out with the victory, and mainly it's because of the ball.
And until you find out about Justin, whether it's tomorrow or whatever, what kind of preparations do you as a head coach have to make to be prepared for the possibility that Bajent might be your guy? Like even just overnight, you know, what kind of thing, what's going to go into your thinking to be prepared for that possibility?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously we have a contingency plan, you know, with him coming back. You know, with Justin, if he is back, that's fine. But if he isn't, you know, obviously we've already, you know, put that plan in place. With Bajent. So you'll see that come to fruition here coming shortly, if it indeed is the case.
This is the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. I'm Lawrence Holmes sitting in for Mully. Olin Kreutz is right here with me as we talk about the Bears and their 19-13 loss to the Minnesota Vikings. So out of that Eberflus press conference, we hear that Justin Fields had an x-ray. The x-ray was negative. I'm a little concerned, though, because I get that it could have just been a sprain or whatever, and the swelling didn't allow him to grip the ball. My concern in hearing that he didn't come back into the game and that the x-rays are negative is that there might be some sort of ligament damage in there for him. So I don't know if what you heard in there, what you think about all of this, but that was the first thing that I started thinking about.
Yeah, it's the first thought you have, right, when you hear the x-rays are negative and you see a guy in that much pain and a guy can't return or grip a football. You know, the first thing you think about after that is, man, I hope the ligaments in his wrist are okay.
Yeah, now I'm hoping so, too. Why don't we take a few phone calls here, get back to people who are reacting. Folks are leaving Soldier Field. They're getting out of the parking lots over there at Soldier Field. Let's take some phone calls. Let's go out to San Francisco and Jack. Hey, Jack, you're on the score.
Hey, guys. Listen, think about what's happening right now. Think about what's happening. We're talking about a team that can't execute a center snap. So I've been following the Bears for 40 years. I'm insane. I am turning insane. So guess what? Here's the plan to solve this problem. Tell Kevin Warren and the Bears to stick it on the stadium. They're not going to get it. This is a horribly run organization. Organizations that are run by family, passed down, never had to do anything to actually earn something, gone. Go to London. Gone. But you know what? You can't take the names. And then hopefully Goodell will be like, not have a team in the NFL or in Chicago. Put the Bears, kind of like the Browns, back there, but under a private ownership group. I know it's crazy, but you know what? This is what happens. So I'll hear what you guys have to say about insanity, but that is the only solution I see right now.
Yeah, insanity is a good word for it, because that's not going to happen. Because the business part of it is, whether it's Arlington Heights or Naperville or them working out a deal to stay in Chicago, the business of the NFL and the business of the Bears is billions of dollars. Therefore, the city of Chicago or Naperville or Arlington Heights or Rockford, wherever it is that they end up going, is not going to turn away an NFL team just because it's owned by the McCaskies. Like, I get it. You're upset right now. You should be. And I think there are a lot of reasons to be upset. The McCaskies, but the idea of the Bears basically disbanding, that's something that's not going to happen.
I'll take that with a grain of salt. You know, I'll take what this caller says. Look, they're not going to sell the team, Lawrence, man. And I don't know. That's why we had so much excitement in Kevin Warren getting hired, right? And would he change the standard in the building? And he, would he change the way they're operating? We hear about Grody call in, and I know it seems like a small thing, but they changed the food up there for the media. Look, organizations that operate at a high level, they operate in a high level at everything they do, right? They wash your clothes at a high level. They make protein shakes at a high level. Their field is ready at a high level. Their locker rooms look good. Everything moves in the right direction. They have a lot of good people in the building. This is where Kevin Warren's biggest job is, and he's got to get that building moving in the right direction. When you hear the frustration from fans, it's just because you just got to go through, Google Chicago Bears results, right? Chicago Bears results, and look at the seasons and tell me the winning seasons. You are talking to a guy who's been retired now for a long time, and I was part of the last team that won a game in the playoffs.
Wow. When you think of it that way, it feels really bad. But
my two boys are playing college at Illinois, Lawrence. That's how long ago that was.
That's a really long time. I will say,
well, it wasn't that long. Let's not go too far.
Well, now. I mean, we're about the same age, so like it definitely feels like a long time.
My hairline tells you how long it was ago that we won that game.
You and me both, brother. You and me both. Let's go out to Pat and Joliet. Hey, Pat, you're on the score.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. First thing I wanted to say was, Lawrence, this is my first chance getting to talk to you on the air. I just want to say I love listening on the store, and I love more listening to your podcast, House of L. So any listeners that are listening, check out Lawrence on House of L podcast. It's good stuff. But in terms of the game, two takeaways I had was Fields things. I know he got hurt, but that pick he threw, I know his arm got hit, but you got to take the sack there. You're sitting at the 25-30-yard line. That's one that you just got to take that L and live and fight another day, especially when they're that close to the red zone.
I would love to go on with your phone call, but we can't really hear you. I don't know what was going on with your phone, but it was kind of cutting in and out, so I apologize for that, Pat. We have to go right now. Let's go to Gary, who's calling from Mississippi. All right. Gary, you're on the score.
Hello. Hey, I just wanted just to say one thing. I was kind of satisfied with the game, especially with the second string quarterback coming in. But I just really think that they need to work on that that offensive front line. They won against the Commanders. They didn't get pressured as much. You know, the Commanders didn't blitz as much. They didn't stack the box. But the other previous teams, man, they just keep applying that pressure. And I can imagine that it's pretty hard to concentrate or survey the fields when you got a whole bunch of defense in your face.
Now, see, it's funny that you bring this up, and we appreciate the phone call. Olin and I were talking about this in the pregame show. The idea of, was Fields better because of the offensive line play, or was he just better? And I think if I'm only using the last three games as data points, I would say that Fields was better because of offensive line play over the last 3 weeks. But even inside of that, there was opportunities for him to make throws today where he actually did have protection, and he didn't make them. And that's concerning to me, O.
Mm-hmm. It is. And we talked about, again, I go back to that first play of the game, and we go back to that third down on the goal line, right? And we go back to, okay, they're bringing more than you can block. Now I understand here when the O-line is sliding the line the wrong way, or there's a late communication, or we end up with a big guy on a running back. We understand the problem there, like the interception he's talking about. And as much as, Lawrence, to back to that Pat caller, as much as the takeaways were part of the losing, Coach Flews, I think he would agree too, that takeaway and then his defense giving up a touchdown right in that 2 minute before they get a 2-for-1 because they get the ball after their second half was another part of them losing that game. So, but as far as Justin Fields goes, the caller is right. There is pressure on him in some games. You are right. That the offensive line did play better, but there are times when they are blitzing more than the offensive line can pick up and we're not getting the ball out, or DJ Moore is one-on-one, and we're not going there, going to that side of the field. Those are the things. If you are up at Halas Hall and you're a decision maker, those are the pitchers that you're looking at and saying, okay, but I have to get to the answer of this. I have to get to the bottom of this question, Lawrence.
We have to take a timeout, and when we come back, we will let you hear from Tyson Bagent, because since Fields was hurt, Bagent went to the podium. So if you're like, hey, I wonder what Tyson Bagent sounds like, we will give you the answer to that question next here on The Score.
Ninth play of the drive with inside of 8 minutes left. Bagent on a stink. No signal. They uncover the bodies and they say touchdown. Tyson Bagent, first touchdown for the rookie. And we've got a one-score game.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. And now your hosts, Olin Krutz and Lawrence Holmes on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. Olin's here, I'm here, and we are going to take your phone calls. We'll walk you up to the post. Our good friend Anthony Heron will be here. He will take care of you in that regard. We're going to hear from Tyson Bagent in just a minute, but I did want to get to a couple more phone calls before we do that. Let's go out to Gene. We're international today. He's calling us from Dallas. Hey, Gene, you're on The Score.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, Olin, I just want to say you are definitely one of my all-time favorites. I cannot wait for you to get to the Hall of Fame. I'm going to go from there into we are so spoiled at the center position. We go from Hillenburg to you to now it's just in flux. And I used to live in Chicago, lived there my whole life, early life, and play ball there, play college ball, and I came to Dallas, have kids that played football here, coached here. The difference that I see in the football scene, just to go into that, is here football is more organized. Everything is about improved facilities, workouts, getting the kids ready to play. What I see from the Bears is this. The organization is so broken. Even when Pace Poles comes in and he tries to reshift the organization, the first thing that I've always believed in any type of football setting is you got to have lines, offense, defense, pressure, stopping people. The center position is a must. And one of the biggest errors that I've seen from this team and going back to the draft is when we did not draft Smith, I believe, from Minnesota. I thought we should have drafted him to secure my middle, because the thing about Justin is once he starts getting hit, he is so shell-shocked. So I don't think that not having a center and not having a good left tackle is helpful for his development. So I can't even truly evaluate him, because I'm looking at somebody who's getting hit so early in games that he's shell-shocked from getting hit. And then he's doing things that I think are uncharacteristic from watching so much football and watching him as well when he was in high school. And so I go from there to that the game plan today, it was right back to the game plan 3 games ago where we come out and it's vanilla. I'm going to run first. I'm gonna run second. I'm going to throw a short pass. We have to change this thing up, because we don't have enough talent to loosen up defenses. Once the quarterback's getting hit so early, so often, and we're so vanilla in our play calling, it leads to just what happened.
We appreciate the phone call. Thank you. And we appreciate the nice words about Olin for sure as a Hall of Fame finalist. It's great to hear people wanting to support your candidacy, as do I. So when you hear that, when you take a look at how the game was called and what the impact was on the quarterback, I know that you haven't finished your second watch yet. What do you take away from your first watch?
It is the same problems popping up, right? And is it the offensive line? Were they great today? No. Justin Fields, was he great getting the ball out? Reading where the pressure was coming from and helping them. We talked about early on the pregame show, Lawrence, how the quarterback and the center worked together organize the blocking scheme, even on Bajent when he had that fumble. It looked like the snap was a little early. There was miscommunication, but the quarterback also needs to be involved in, against a team like this, organizing the protection, getting everybody on the right guys. So, you know, Gene, you can tell that he does coach football in Dallas, and I believe that too. And it's some of that kind of baffles me also that two guys who played offensive line, by that I mean Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham, come into Chicago, and you expect right away, man, they're going to flood assets into the two lines, right? And they don't, right? They go secondary and they go wide receiver, which was interesting to me. But he's talking about John Michael Schmitz, who's with the Giants. He was at the University of Minnesota. And then Cam Jurgens the year before. Now, I think Cam Jurgens is on IR now. But it just, you have to throw assets in there, Lawrence, because you're going to get injuries, right? And Nate Davis goes out, and then you got to put Jatari Carter in. Now your Cody Whitehair is at center. He's struggling with the snap. Lucas Patrick goes in. Tevin Jenkins hasn't played all the snaps. You're already down your left tackle. That's why a couple years ago I thought, even though he's in and out of the lineup, they should have signed Teron Armstead, right, to man that left tackle position, but they didn't. I know they went after McGlinchey in this offseason. They didn't get him. He went to Denver. So just a lot of things that you watch for two guys who played in the trenches, and you kind of wonder, wow, they rather go with the skill position guys in the draft and assets and things of that nature. But we'll see what they do now that they've been here for a couple of years.
Shout out to John Michael Schmitz, because he is from a mighty, mighty Viking of Homewood Flossmoor High School. And, you know, all they produce is winners. That's what I heard. So I heard about Homewood Flossmoor, that they just produce winners out here, and that's key.
Yeah. Hey, Lawrence, blessed are storytellers, for they tell the story.
You're damn right we do, oh. You're damn right. Speaking of which, why don't we go back to Soldier Field for a second? And Justin Fields didn't speak because, you know, hurt guys don't usually go to the podium, and he's probably getting himself ready for that MRI tomorrow. Quarterback has to talk, so Tyson Bagent finished the game. He's the one that got to go to the podium. So here is Tyson Bagent talking about his experience being the Bears quarterback today.
Tyson, on the interception at the end, what did you see there? What were you trying to get done? Obviously, DJ singled up there.
Yeah, kind of just like what you said, DJ Moore, one of the best receivers in the world, you know, one-on-one, anytime, you know, we can get that, we like it, underthrew it there a little bit, and, you know, that's on me, and that's something that, you know, I got to fix going forward.
Is that a result of depression?
No, I think that's just a result of me, you know, underthrowing the ball, got to give my guy a chance, and, you know, note that, watch the film, and correct it for next week.
Was there any talk with you and Luke, if you're here, about waiting for 2 minute warning, that situation, did you guys want to get that checked off?
No, there was no communication of that. You know, we're, you know, operating well on that drive. We're doing a good job of moving the ball, both in the run game and pass game. So kind of want to keep things rolling and, you know, not give the defense time to, you know, get a break and re-rally up.
How different was this than the preseason game?
It's different. A lot more, you know, you don't pressure as much in the preseason just because you want to see guys, you know, play fast and do their specific job. But, you know, football is football. Football field's the same size, 11 on 11. You're either going to throw the ball or pass the ball. So, you know, I thought it was, you know, similar, but, you know, different with the different pressures that they were showing.
How did you feel coming out of your first game, first regular season game, throwing in a pinch like that? How did you feel? How many butterflies? Confident? Were you talking about how you felt going in?
Yeah, excited. You know, I playing football is my job, so I enjoy playing football. So I was excited to get out there. Obviously, you know, butterflies, because you're playing in front of so many people, and you know the stakes are high, you know, in the NFL. But felt really prepared. Felt like the coaches did a good job of, you know, always preparing all the quarterbacks, you know, week in and week out, just because it's always one play away. So felt good, felt prepared, and you know, excited. Say it again. He was good. Yeah, he was good. You know, asked me how I was, told him I was good, and that was the extent of it.
Tyson, can you take us through the strip sack?
Yeah, so a little bit of miscommunication, but at the end of the day, I got to keep two hands on the ball. I got to protect the ball. That's, you know, a big job of mine, you know, when I'm out there. So got to keep two hands on the ball and be more efficient in that area.
When you come to the sideline after a strip sack, touchdown in your first drive, how in the world do you reset?
You just got to play the next play. That's something that has always been preached to me. And, you know, it'll do you no good kind of harping on, you know, the pass or the last play. We got to, you know, think forward, move forward. And, you know, we had a game to, you know, try and win. So there wasn't really any time to sit back and think about that.
How did you feel to get in the end zone?
I felt good. You know, always a dream for every young kid, every young football player to play in the NFL. So the fact that I was able to, you know, make it here, get in the end zone, it felt good.
When were you aware that the center change was happening, and what did Lucas bring for you there?
Say it again.
When were you aware that the center change was happening, and what did Lucas bring for you there?
Oh, yeah, both times when I initially got in, I took snaps with Cody. Second drive going in, took snaps with Lucas. Felt really comfortable with both those guys, and I think everybody, the offense as a whole, did a good job, you know, having my back and rallying around me and, you know, making me feel good, you know, while I was in. So I appreciated that.
Have you predominantly taken more snaps from one or the other in practice, just being with the twos? Who are you taking snaps from?
I do a good job mixing it up. You know, more times than not, I'm taking scout team reps with neither of those guys, but I make sure that, you know, everybody, you know, each center kind of snaps it a little bit different, especially under center. In the gun, it's kind of, you know, it's pretty similar, but make sure I mix it up, getting under center snaps throughout the week and in pregame with all those guys.
I know that most teams don't practice with their backups a whole lot during the week. How many snaps do you have in practice that work with the scout team this week?
You know, a handful whenever Justin has a long play or he needs to communicate about something that happened on the last play, you know, they'll throw me in there. But most of the time, you know, it's Justin's show and, you know, we let him get as prepared as he possibly can for the week coming.
A lot of guys describe you as cool, calm, and collected. Is there anything you do to steady your nerves in these anxious moments, or is that just something sad?
I think it just comes from kind of not being okay until I have the game plan down. So kind of, you know, putting the pressure on myself to get everything down, understand, you know, what's going on in the game and what my operation needs to be. And then after that, it just all comes down to playing football and playing fast. So I'd say that's where it comes from.
How are you moving forward? If you're our QB1 next week, how confident are you getting this team to a victory?
Yeah, I'm, you know, obviously very confident in myself, and, you know, nothing changes for me. You know, since day one, I've been preparing as if I was going to play the whole game. That's just, you know, how I kind of approach the game. I like to know what's going on at all times, so nothing really is going to change for this week. Back to the drawing board, get ready for Vegas this coming week.
Tyson, even though, you know, composure is a big part of your game, but this has to be a little bit of a whirlwind for you this whole day. What is the prevailing emotion you're feeling right now, after a game like this, that you're just playing, getting in, good things, bad things, everything? What is the prevailing emotion you're feeling after a day like today?
You know, I think more than anything, just wanting a couple of those plays back. Obviously, would have liked a different outcome in the game. I think after you kind of process and think about that, just extremely grateful for, you know, the life I've been blessed with. You know, not a lot of people get to do what I do, and win in victory or defeat. So, you know, I'm just, you know, super thankful for my family, super thankful for, you know, all my past relationships that helped me get to this moment. But, you know, first we, you know, like to get back to the drawing board and get a couple of those plays back and correct it, you know, for next week.
Shout out to Tyson Bajan. I feel like that young man was very ready for that moment. And that's, like, as much as we talk about, like, what's happening on the field, he wasn't doing press conferences in college. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I was thinking that listening to that, Lawrence. Like, what was his last at Shepherd College? What did his post game press conference look like?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it was all people that probably loved him, and I thought that he handled that exceptionally well to be mm-hmm. thrust into the role of being the starting quarterback and then having to speak for the team. Like, that's not an easy thing to do. So, shout out to him. I walk away impressed with his level of preparation for that.
Yeah, you can see it when he plays, right? I mean, not in while the play is going, but you can see it. I'm talking about in, like you talked, Eberflus talked about the operation of the play. And that's what I was watching when he came in. And he, you know, he's putting guys in motions. He knew where guys had to line up. He knew who had what and what to do pre-play. Now he has to work on the most important part, obviously, once the ball is snapped, the execution of everything. But there was a lot going on around him, right? There was a lot of centers going in and out. You hear about quarterbacks going in and out. That may have been the first NFL game I've seen centers going in and out. So very interesting to watch, interesting to listen to him, knowing where he came from, and he did handle that very well.
We got one more segment to do, and we thank the folks over at Aurelio's for delivering pizza for the whole crew here. Everyone chowed down, even our friends over at WBBM. They got their hands on the pizza. They brought beef sandwiches. It was just outstanding. Visit AureliosPizza.com to order from any of the locations, the one nearest you. Aurelio's Pizza, it's the sauce. Oh, when we come back, I got some numbers that illustrate a point that you were vehement about in the pregame show. You'll want to stick around and hear this. It'll explain some of the issues that the offense had. We'll do that next here on The Score.
In terms of injury update, we do have Justin Fields injured his right hand. And, we're evaluating it right now. We did take an x-ray. The x-ray is negative, in terms of that. And then we'll see where it is tomorrow when we get the MRI. So that's all I know right now. It's all I have.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. And now your hosts, Olin Krutz and Lawrence Holmes on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Early this morning when Olin and I were talking Bears and we were a little bit more optimistic before the game kicked off, one of the things that was on the notepad of Olin Krutz that he mentioned over and over again was Brian Flores and how Brian Flores coaches to disrupt offenses. These are some statistics, from True Media Sports. This is the percentages of things that happened on Justin Fields' dropbacks today. And all of these numbers in all four of these categories are season highs. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
He scrambled 17.6% of the time. That's a season high. He was sacked 28.6% of the time on his dropbacks. That's a high. He was pressured on 23.5% of his dropbacks today. That's a high. And he was blitzed 53% of the time that he dropped back today, which is actually lower than Flores' blitz percentage for the regular season. But a season high for Justin Fields.
Yeah, and they don't move the launching point of the quarterback. And I can't remember that many screens, Lawrence. Like, I don't know how many screens I saw. I think I saw one to Cole Kmet, a tight end screen. And I think that was Bajan, right? And Bajan's two takeaways, Lance Briggs and Alex Brown trained me correctly. I don't call them turnovers. I call them takeaways. His two takeaways were on first down, right? So we're throwing the ball in the pocket there on first down. Just didn't make a lot of sense to me. But that is what Flores does. They knew that coming into this game, like you're talking about. We knew how critical communication was going to be in the pocket through the O-line. And you heard Bajan say that on that fumble for a touchdown that the Vikings had, that they had, the key word, right? We had communication problems.
Let's take a couple more phone calls before we call it an afternoon. Peter is out in Lyle. Hey, Peter, you're on The Score.
Hey, first of all, you definitely belong in the Hall of Fame. Rooting for you. I'm in my 50s, and your play and your passion are amazing. You belong there. You're actually touching on the question that I had. You know, my friends and I, we are not experts. And I always assumed, like Eberflus knows more about football than I will ever know in my whole life. But yet we know there are things that work against, pressure. You could move the pocket. When the run game is going well, you can do these play action passes. You can, when he's on the move and it's a run pass option, what's he going to do? But they don't seem to call the kinds of things that other teams in the league might do in those situations. Like you said, only the one screen, and that was Bajan. We don't know why. Like, is it the scheme? Does he not have the personnel? Because if I hear him at the end say one more time, we just need to execute there, I'm going to go out of my head. That's like it feels like a coach's cop out when you're not doing the things that have worked in the past for other teams and for you. And I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. That it's going to be hard for Matt Eberflus, no matter how this season turns out. We all knew what the Bears were trying to do last year, and I imagine that, depending on the health of Justin Fields, they'll try and do something similar this year. It's really hard when you're a coach that has a 14-game losing streak on your resume, and you don't seem to be making any real progress towards winning, for you to defend your job at the end of the year. I I just think I don't know how you feel about it, Olin, but I think that's a really hard thing to do. And his boss too. His boss is going to have some have to explain some stuff to his new boss about why this season looks the way that it does.
Mm-hmm. And to the caller's point, right, when he's talking about the play calling, and Lawrence, as you know, I mentioned in the pregame show, I helped Jason McKee coach up there at Carmel Catholic. And the only reason I bring that up is it's a humbling experience when you're actually trying to do it, right? When you're actually trying to call plays with the play clock, make adjustments on the field. And I think it's good. It's good for someone like me who talks a lot about these coaches and what they need to do and how you need to get your team to play better. And sometimes you're under the gun and you're making those same mistakes. But these guys are professionals, to the caller's point. And you're wondering why it seems like the answer, some of the answers that they could use to help with the scheme that Brian Flores brings to Soldier Field today weren't used. And your question is, again, why on the first play of the game, why do we think we have Aaron Rodgers and we're going to go empty protection and make him read the blitz? And why, if not, it's just as much your fault if he has not advanced that far yet.
Olin, this was an absolute treat and a pleasure for me to be able to talk football with you all afternoon. Thank you so much for making it super easy for me.
Thank you, Lawrence, man. You know how I feel about working with you, and thank you for all your help.
Big thanks to our production staff today. Alex Kuhn doing an awesome job of keeping this show together. Sean Sears making sure that we got all the tape that we need. Thanks to all of the fine sponsors, Great Clips, Tullamore Dew, Aurelio's, Plumbers 911, and S-Wing for their support of the show. Anthony Heron has got the post. He's got you next. I'll be on with Dan Bernstein starting at 10 a.m. tomorrow. You're going to be one locked into the score all day long. I promise you that. The post show with Big Ant Heron is next. For Olin Kreutz, I'm Lawrence Holmes. Try to have a better Sunday, even though the Bears lost. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. We'll do that next here on The Score.
In terms of injury update, we do have Justin Fields injured his right hand. And, we're evaluating it right now. We did take an x-ray. The x-ray is negative, in terms of that. And then we'll see where it is tomorrow when we get the MRI. So that's all I know right now. It's all I have.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. And now your hosts, Olin Kreutz and Lawrence Holmes on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Early this morning when Olin and I were talking Bears and we were a little bit more optimistic before the game kicked off, one of the things that was on the notepad of Olin Kreutz that he mentioned over and over again was Brian Flores and how Brian Flores coaches to disrupt offenses. These are some statistics, from True Media Sports. This is the percentages of things that happened on Justin Fields' dropbacks today. And all of these numbers in all four of these categories are season highs. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
He scrambled 17.6% of the time. That's a season high. He was sacked 28.6% of the time on his dropbacks. That's a high. He was pressured on 23.5% of his dropbacks today. That's a high. And he was blitzed 53% of the time that he dropped back today, which is actually lower than Flores' blitz percentage for the regular season. But a season high for Justin Fields.
Yeah, and they don't move the launching point of the quarterback. And I can't remember that many screens, Lawrence. Like, I don't know how many screens I saw. I think I saw one to Cole Kmet, a tight end screen. And I think that was Bajan, right? And Bajan's two takeaways, Lance Briggs and Alex Brown trained me correctly. I don't call them turnovers. I call them takeaways. His two takeaways were on first down, right? So we're throwing the ball in the pocket there on first down. Just didn't make a lot of sense to me. But that is what Flores does. They knew that coming into this game, like you're talking about. We knew how critical communication was going to be in the pocket through the O-line. And you heard Bajan say that on that fumble for a touchdown that the Vikings had, that they had, the key word, right? We had communication problems.
Let's take a couple more phone calls before we call it an afternoon. Peter is out in Lyle. Hey, Peter, you're on the score.
Hey, first of all, you definitely belong in the Hall of Fame. Rooting for you. I'm in my 50s, and your play and your passion are amazing. You belong there. You're actually touching on the question that I had. You know, my friends and I, we are not experts. And I always assumed, you know, like Eberflus knows more about football than I will ever know in my whole life. But yet we know there are things that work against, you know, pressure. You could move the pocket. You know, when the run game is going well, you can do these play action passes. You can, you know, when he's on the move and it's a run pass option, you know, what's he going to do? But they don't seem to call the kinds of things that other teams in the league might do in those situations. Like you said, only the one screen, and that was Bajent. We don't know why. Like, is it the scheme? Does he not have the personnel? Because if I hear him at the end say one more time, we just need to execute there, I'm going to go out of my head. That's like just, it feels like a coach's cop out when you're not doing the things that have worked in the past for other teams and for you. And I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. That it's going to be hard for Matt Eberflus. No matter how this season turns out, you know, we all knew what the Bears were trying to do last year, and I imagine that depending on the health of Justin Fields, they'll try and do something similar this year. It's really hard when you're a coach that has a 14-game losing streak on your resume, and you don't seem to be making any real progress towards winning, for you to defend your job at the end of the year. I just think, I don't know how you feel about it, Olin, but I think that's a really hard thing to do. And his boss, too. His boss is going to have to explain some stuff to his new boss about why this season looks the way that it does.
Mm-hmm. And to the caller's point, right, when he's talking about the play calling, and Lawrence, as you know, I mentioned in the pregame show, I helped Jason McKee coach up there at Carmel Catholic. And the only reason I bring that up is, it's a humbling experience when you're actually trying to do it, right? When you're actually trying to call plays with the play clock, make adjustments on the field. And I think it's good. It's good for someone like me who talks a lot about these coaches and what they need to do and how you need to get your team to play better. And sometimes you're under the gun and you're making those same mistakes. But these guys are professionals, to the caller's point. And you're wondering why it seems like some of the answers that they could use to help with the scheme that Brian Flores brings to Soldier Field today weren't used. And your question is, again, why on the first play of the game? Why do we think we have Aaron Rodgers and we're going to go empty protection and make him read the blitz? And why, if not, it's just as much your fault if he has not advanced that far yet.
Olin, this was an absolute treat and a pleasure for me to be able to talk football with you all afternoon. Thank you so much for making it super easy for me.
Thank you, Lawrence, man. You know how I feel about working with you, and thank you for all your help.
Big thanks to our production staff today. Alex Kuhn doing an awesome job of keeping this show together. Sean Sears making sure that we got all the tape that we need. Thanks to all the fine sponsors, Great Clips, Tullamore Dew, Aurelio's, Plumbers 911, and S-Wing for their support of the show. Anthony Heron has got the post. He's got you next. I'll be on with Dan Bernstein starting at 10 a.m. tomorrow. You're going to be one locked into the score all day long. I promise you that. The post show with Big Ant Heron is next. For Olin Kreutz, I'm Lawrence Holmes. Try to have a better Sunday, even though the Bears lost. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10.